Hello, everybody out there in the internet. Welcome to Aimless Babble Z, episode 316. I'm Ticket Master, joined by
RPG Maniac 05
and Trioptical.
See, I've got so much been playing. Maybe a middle segment. It could happen. Whatever. Randomly. It could just.
Aimless middle segment.
It could just materialize of like, we should talk about that. And then, the news. Or some news. So, yeah. Who wants to go first? Arm pump.
I've been playing two things, and I can only talk about one of them because I think there's an NDA on the other one.
Oh no!
But they're similar. That is my hint.
So the thing I, what are they going to do about it?
I don't know. But yeah, I've been pretty good with the NDAs. So whatever. Yeah, I'll give you a hint. Like. They're very similar games, and the one that I can talk about is the Battleborn open beta. And it's pretty substantial. There's a lot of stuff in it. There's the multiplayer modes, and there's actually two like single-player missions that you can play through. And the single-player missions are sort of like, or that's not accurate, story-based missions, because I played one single player, and it is, like, not fun. Oh, it's sort of like, It reminds me of the, imagine the raids from Destiny, but you can get through them as a single player.
It's just far less fun.
Yeah, far it's, like, less far fun. Less fun by yourself. I think it might be fun with other players, but I have not seen that yet. My first impression when it started was like, oh, this is basically one of the multiplayer maps, right? Except I'm playing it by myself and I'm gonna fight bots. And I was like, oh no, that's not what it is. It's actually like you traverse through a dungeon. Yeah, it's just like the raid. But I don't know, it just feels way easier. You can set it to harder in that you only have one life, but on normal, you can die however many times, or not however many times. You have a limited number of lives. But it just, like, I think I died four times, maybe.
Oh my gosh, and it gave me that terrible.
I was, well, so you've played it, right?
What
character have you been using?
Miko.
That man, Miko is so hard to use.
What are you talking about? He's like, super easy to use. Like,
is?
He's a combat medic.
Is it a he or a she? Or is it? Is it?
I mean,
really
he's a mushroom. So,
okay,
yeah.
So. No, well, can you? You don't even need the medic ability in single player, do you? Or did you play it with randos?
Well, I played ring, so.
You played the story mission with randos?
Yeah.
Ah, well then. I don't know what that's...
They have matchmaking. Why would you...
See, I was playing single player, so it, like, was pretty crazy. Like, there's a lot of stuff to kill. And not being the combat medic, I could not heal myself. Mm. So... Yeah, it might be interesting with people, but I don't know how much longevity the story content is going to have. It's mostly I think it's going to be mostly a multiplayer PvP type game in which there's two modes in the beta. One is called Incursion, which is, I guess, most similar to things like League of Legends or Heroes of the Storm. And then the other one, or so in Incursion, like other MOBAs, there's minions that you have to escort to the other side of the map, the enemy side of the map, because without them, the things that you're supposed to attack have these shields that are impenetrable. So once the minions get there, they bring down the shields, and then you can shoot the thing that you're supposed to destroy. Which is, that's pretty similar to MOBAs. And then the other part, or the other mode is called Meltdown. And it does away with the thing you have to shoot, and you just have to escort the minions. And they walk up into these grinder-looking things, and then they die. And depending on how big the minion is, you score a certain number of points. And the first team to, I want to say, 500 wins the match. And then
there's
like
a similar mode in Smite to that one.
Oh yeah, the arena.
Yeah.
Is it 3v3 or was that 5 also?
I think it's 5. You can do up to 5. 5.
Okay.
5 versus 5.
So, yeah. As someone who plays one MOBA at least, I thought it was pretty fun. And primarily I think it's the characters and how they're so different from each other. And just seeing how that all interacts. And then, like, the amount of, I guess, character progression type stuff that there is. So, unlike Heroes of the Storm, where every, like, character is... Like, if I play, say, the Siege Tank, then everyone else who plays the Siege Tank gets the exact same character. You know, there isn't... You don't have a chance to really tweak any of the characters. But in Battleborn, as you play and progress, you get... I think they call it gear. And then the gear lets you sort of customize the characters a bit. So it changes their stats and, like... attack power and stuff like that. Although I think it's only slight. Otherwise, it might get really unbalanced.
Are you talking about the Helix thing or the actual like equipment gear stuff?
The equipment gear that you get, that you just put on your characters. Yeah, the Helix thing, I mean, that's pretty typical of all this type of games. Simplified from if I could talk about, so I mean the other one is Paragon but can't really talk about, but I guess, you know, on a scale, Paragon is much more MOBA-esque than Battleborn. When you're playing it feels actually a lot like a shooter, and you're just fighting against all these other characters that are pretty different from you, and sort of like the objective part is what makes it feel like a MOBA. But when you're just playing, it's like, yeah, I'm just, you know, I'm aiming at stuff, I'm pushing the trigger, it's shooting them. And the other one is like, it feels very different. So RPG, what do you think? Are you gonna get it, or did you have enough from just this trial?
I don't know, because like I didn't play like a lot of it, because I mean it came out kind of late, and then I was playing other stuff. So, but I mean it seems like it would be fun for a while, but I'd probably like get tired of it like I do it. The other MOBAs I've attempted to play before, so I'm just like, I don't know. Maybe when it's like on sale or something, I'd pick it up, but I wouldn't get it like day one or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm wondering about, because there's only one map right now for each of the modes, and I'm wondering if there are different maps for each of the modes, or are they just going to do sort of the traditional MOBA thing where it's just like, you'll need more than one map. One map is all you get.
They might switch it up a little bit.
Maybe. That's what I like about Heroes of the Storm versus League of Legends. League of Legends is very I guess it's like football. You know, the fields are all the same, and the game is basically always the same? I mean, obviously there's variations in the sequence of events, but what happens in football is always the same. And so, like, Heroes of the Storm is really cool in that every map is also different, and they have different objectives and stuff. And so the main goal of destroying the other side's core is always the same, but the way that you can go about doing that is different for every map.
Yeah, I think from watching your Heroes of the Storm stuff that I've seen, I think it's the more exciting, because it has, like, those, like, the boss minions that you can summon that you can, like,
yeah,
have them fight for you, as opposed to it just being the 5v5 and the creep and the minions. Yeah.
Like, that's what Battleborn is like that, too, so far, unless there are different maps, because, like, it very much is, okay, you know, you protect your minions, kill the other side as best you can, don't die, and then every once in a while, if you have the chance, you can go and capture this, like, super minion camp that's somewhere out on neutral ground, and then they help your minions. And it's like, yeah, that's... League of Legends has a thing like these dragons that are on the map, and if you capture them, it buffs your team. And it's just like this very slow grind type deal. Did we lose RPG?
Are you still there, RPG? Looks like you're still there.
I am.
Okay.
It was a brief loss. So yeah, like, I hope there's other maps. We'll see.
The co-op stuff seems to have, like, I mean, it's weird because it's like, it plays kind of like a cross between, like, Borderlands and some other MOBA or something, because it's like, you have all your people there, but it's like, since they all play as different classes and everything, it's, I don't know, it's like, it just plays similarly, but it's just, you can't change guns or anything kind of thing, so.
Yeah, and then the other thing is, like, it still keeps the thing from multiplayer, where you level up during the mission, and then you go to the next mission, and you have to do it again.
Yeah,
right?
I kind of forgot that was a thing, because when I was, like, playing the other map, I was like, oh, wait, I forgot I have to, like, re-level all of this again.
Yeah.
You don't get to keep, like, your abilities.
That's the Helix thing that you're talking about, where it's, like, every time you level up in a game, there's two... You get to choose between two sort of modifiers to your abilities. So I've been playing Montana a lot.
As you rank up with that character, it adds more to the Helix.
Oh, really? The Helix gets longer?
No, like, it'll add it, like, in between. Because, like, with Nico, for example, like, what I think it's, like, his level 4 or something changed to, like, 3 bubbles. So it's, like, you have the usual 2, but then there's one in the middle that you can choose instead of those 2.
Oh, it's like, that's so what as that
you,
was.
Like, so as you, like, rank up with them, it like, increases the abilities on the Helix.
Uh-huh. I was not paying enough attention. I just kept... I kept playing as Montana, who was this, like, huge lumberjack guy with a chain gun. And I kept trying to make a certain build work. And that build was... his chain gun overheats. But the higher the heat is, the more damage it does. And so I had built it all... I built him all around... keeping the heat really high and then being effective with high heat. So that involved choosing things like the gun no longer overheats. Like, if it goes past the maximum heat, then it just starts damaging you. And to counter that, I put on the modifier where it's like the higher the heat, the higher your health regen stat goes. And I was like, okay, so maybe I'll be able to sort of... It'll be fighting. It'll be going up and down and just sort of wavering. That doesn't actually happen. Yeah, it doesn't actually happen. The heat hurts you way faster than you can heal. And then doing things like changing my frost shot into a heat shot. And so instead of cooling down the gun, it actually heats the gun even faster, but it shoots like flaming bullets at people, which cause damage over time.
Seems like he would actually be good paired up with Miko, though, because you have that healing beam.
Yeah. but he's not... I'm not sure if he's supposed to be played as a tank. Like, he only has, like, two or three... I think there's only one thing in the Helix that you get to choose, which, like, ups his health.
Yeah, but and he's, like, a damage dealer, though. So it's, like, if you have... Yeah. Like, if you keep, like, just a healing stream on him while he's doing his, like, overheat thing, you'd probably be okay.
So, what is Miko's ultimate? I couldn't tell.
It's the mushroom creates like a, it creates like an area of effect healing thing that keeps you, like, keeps healing. And one of the buffs can, like, make it damage enemies as well who are inside the area of effect.
Okay.
Damn.
Yeah, like, I played Miko, I think, two games because someone else chose Montana faster than I did. I was like, ah, dang it. Okay. Someone said the mushroom is pretty cool. And I was like, and yeah, it was really cool. Like, I like the animation of throwing the daggers. That looks really neat. Yeah. But I was like, how do I heal? It's like, oh, it's L2. It's like, okay, so now I'm healing. But, oh my gosh, the game, like, I think top-down MOBAs are way easier to understand initially because having it be first person and everyone moving around so fast, like, Thorn, super fast.
Yeah, because trying to move, keep up with everybody when you're just only at this one field of view as opposed to, like, having... Yeah.
Like, where you don't really have the awareness of what's around you in first person. And it is so chaotic. There's just so many things. You know, at any given point, there...
Or just radar?
Is a mini-map. Or I think you can change it. You can change it to be just a radar, or you can change it to be a full mini-map. But it's not like a full mini map like in most MOBAs. It's just like your surround, like the immediate area.
Okay, yeah.
And man, it is so chaotic because at any given point, there's like half of the things on the screen are on your side and half of the things on the screen are on the other side. They're all shooting at each other. It's just like, I might have to adjust the colors and stuff because the way it is now, like, I have a very hard time figuring out, like, snap judgment, who's on my side and who's not on my side. And everything is moving really quickly and there's a term for, like, time to kill. Like, the time to kill is pretty long in Borderlands. It's not like Call of Duty. Otherwise, like, every encounter would be too short. Yeah, it's insane. I was just like, at one point I was like, okay, forget. I'm not throwing in more daggers. I'm just gonna concentrate on healing, and I couldn't even do that because everyone is just running all over the place.
Everyone, stop moving! Stop moving!
And you know, unlike other, you know, top-down MOBAs, there's also ledges that you can stand on, and like. So there's sort of verticality and everyone is everywhere. And then you can buy like turrets and stuff. So there'd be places on the map that have places where you can put guns and stuff. And you collect these sort of shards on the map and then you go over and you can build like sort of base defenses. But the other team can also build base defenses on your side of the map if you get so far pushed back. So just, yeah, so much stuff, everything shooting at you, and it's just crazy. So it seems kind of fun. Probably, I was thinking getting it at launch, but I don't know.
Yeah. I wish it was like easier to like rank up to unlock the other characters because I want to see how some of the other ones play, but it's like, I guess like it does it in most MOBAs, it takes like a while, so it's like it's harder to unlock characters because I think that's what my issue was in Smite because it's like, you have, you had to play so long just to get these different
characters. Like, yeah, I don't understand why that's the case in Battleborn. You know, it makes sense for Smite and Heroes of the Storm and League of Legends because those games are free. So they want you to play a lot so that there's always this huge player base. And, you know, on, for you, it's like, yeah, it's like you play a lot to get these characters and then you feel invested. And also, if you're the type of person who just wants the characters, then maybe you'll throw some money their way and then you can get it faster. And Battleborn is a $60 game, but you also have to unlock characters. And it's like, is that... they want you to be up to a certain skill to use some of them? It's like, well, no, it doesn't seem that way. It's just, it seems kind of arbitrary.
Yeah, because I mean, I don't think... because I mean, I guess like once you find a character, you're, like, you're probably just going to keep using that character anyway, but it's like... I don't know, it just seems like so much work.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't want to do it.
I've unlocked, I think, one character in probably 6 hours, 7 hours of play.
Yeah, I think I unlocked two, but I think because you might rank up faster in the co-op stuff than you probably do in... Mm-hmm. Stuff, but it's like it still takes like so long.
Yeah.
So long. So I'm just like, I don't wanna, and since the beta is only like the same things like over and over, it's kinda like it kinda adds to the tedium because it's like, okay, I can only play these two levels over and over again or play these other modes in this one map for like over and over again. So it's like I don't know, man. I don't know.
Also, I guess right now you wouldn't necessarily want to put that much work into it, even if you did get to see the characters in the end, because it's the beta.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Everything can change, and it'll be. But...
even if nothing changes, I don't think you get to keep anything from the beta. So it's just like, oh,
all that effort. Although you'll at least get to, like, if you know how they play or something, like, when the real game comes out, you're like, okay, I can, like, intentionally try to unlock this character or something so I can play with them, but I don't know, it just seems like so much work.
So far, it seems like, Montana's pretty straightforward. Miko, I had a tough time getting used to, because of the half, like, you can't heal and throw daggers at the same time. It's like, oh. So I can't just, like, like truly combat medicing. And then I played a few games of Thorn, and she's the one on the cover with the bow and arrow, and she's apparently a sniper, and she runs super fast.
She is a very kicker. I had trouble trying to heal her when I was like playing. So I was like, stop moving. I'm trying to help you.
Because with Montana, I was walking into the battles that, you know, just were super lopsided against me. It's like, oh, why'd I do that? And then try to turn around and like run away, but he's so slow. I was like, well, and huge. Like, he's a giant target too. So that didn't work. And then, but with Thorn, I would be, you know, they'd close in on me. It's like, oh no. And I just turn around and book it, and then turn back around, and they're nowhere to be seen. Like, you can go so fast as Thorn.
It's like, stand still. Stand still. I'm trying to help. That's also why I ended up having to just use the area effect a lot of times anytime I was playing with people like that, because I'm like, well, I'm not going to be able to catch you, so, I mean, when you eventually run through this, you'll be okay. Like, so.
Yeah. Game is crazy. I was doing a lot better the first day I played, and then since then I've lost like so many games.
How long is the beta going on till?
Quite a while. I think Xbox and PC beta just opened.
Oh. Okay.
And I think PlayStation 4 got like an extra 5 days.
Oh.
So, at least. A few more days, probably through the weekend. I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, I just, like I said, I just wish it was easier to unlock characters, at least for the beta is just like, just let me try out these characters, man. Just let me try them out. There's like quite a few of them, but it's like,
there's a lot of them.
Because like I was going through the roster, and I was like, man, there's like, and they all look so different from each other too. Because like, there's this one that has like, I guess like this, like demon mech thing attached to him or something. And I was like, man, I want to get this, but it's like to unlock it, you have to be like rank 25 or something. I was like, no. Just no. It's like, no. So it's,
I think I'm like 6, 7 maybe.
So it's just, I was just like, no, just no.
It's going to take a while.
But he looks cool though. So I was like, huh, this would probably be an interesting character to play with. But I'll never know because so much work. So yeah, I'll probably like pick it up when it's like on sale sometime later. But I wouldn't get it like day one.
Well, it comes out in May, right?
Yep.
First week of May. When does Uncharted come out? Is May that
10th?
I think the week after.
Late or May, or is it the week after?
It's like the week right after, I think. Or like the same day. Like very close together.
Or the same day.
Wouldn't be the first time this year. Everybody's like, let's release everything together, guys. Let's release everything together.
Yeah, that makes it tough. Because the other thing, and I guess Blizzard's tactic is going to work, because I want to play Overwatch, and the beta of Overwatch starts on the day that Battleborn comes out.
Dun, dun, dun.
So I may not have time, because I'll be playing Overwatch. So yeah, like right now I'm sitting here imagining a situation where I buy Battleborn, I bring it home, I play once maybe, and then I play Overwatch, and then
and you're never heard from again.
A week later, Uncharted 4 comes out, and I'm just playing Uncharted.
Basically,
if as that I said, is the it's case,
probably, it's probably just better to just get it like when it's on sale later down the line or something. Because I just feel like day one purchase for Battleborn is probably just not a good idea.
And it sounds like, you know, Destiny is coming back, and Division I've barely gotten.
It's not coming back yet.
It's not coming back.
It's not coming back. I mean, there's stuff to do. There's some things to do, but it's not coming back.
Right, yeah, then. When I saw Tekken playing it on my friend's list, I was like, wait, did he go back to Destiny after all of that?
Well, I mean, he had to, just to, you know, like, he said he was going back to see the changes.
Yeah, but he was, like, ranting and everything. They were a rant, topical.
He's ranted while we were playing the game.
I know,
it's not so weird.
But, I mean, it's like, these rants sounded more, like, angry. His other ones just sound like he was lacking sleep in his when we were playing. So it's like, there was a slight difference in the ranting style.
Well. Anyway, I spent most of the weekend playing independent developer games at the Midwest Gaming Classic, which was here, or near here in Milwaukee. And there's some really cool stuff coming out from developers I've never heard of. There's probably a lot of developers I've never heard of, though.
Okay, but just, so like, I have a question, Trump,
so close are, like, to me that I've never heard of.
Are the developers, like, the stuff they're working on, is it mostly for PC?
Let's see. So I invited 12 developers. One of them was, they were making they make board games and stuff.
Yeah.
The other 11 were working on, I think nine of them were making PC games, and two of them were making mobile games.
Mobile.
Actually, one of my favorite games from the show was a mobile game, because it looks so good. It was made by two guys in 3 months. Newt Industries.
Oh.
Newt Industries, they made a game called Garbage, which it looks, when you look at it, it looks almost perfectly like an SNES game. Like, the animations and the colors and the sprites. It's just like, it looks so good. And it's basically, what's a game that is similar? Well, essentially there's like three garbage bins in front of you and different types of garbage scroll across the screen at the bottom and you have to sort them into the right bins. And the wrinkle comes in that there are raccoons that are occasionally get in the way and they'll be in the bins. And so you have to feed them to distract them. And then you can continue to use those bins. So it's like there's a garbage bin in the middle, a bin for recycling paper type things on the right, and then a glass, plastic.
So it's sort of like a reverse and Frogger.
Aluminum on the left. Reverse Frogger?
Because you're not putting stuff in things, you're like sorting it as it's making its way to the end point. Or you're not trying to get to the end, you're trying to like sort stuff as it's getting to the end. Oh, it's like whatever.
Yeah, I guess so, maybe. Stuff is scrolling on the screen, so that's like Frogger. Well, no, so the charming part of the game, besides its visuals, is like the... some of the items that you have to sort into the garbage are sort of open to interpretation as where they should go. So things like deli paper, dirty deli paper is not, like, you can't recycle that as paper because it's dirty, so you have to throw it in trash. But the difference is that you can, dirty deli paper also counts as food that you can feed to the raccoons. And things like a decorative fruit is plastic, right? So you throw it in plastic. But also, you can feed it to the raccoons.
Because... And kill them? Because that's what you would be doing.
It's just like, you know, little bits of humor like that. Like a black licorice, you can't throw in any of them. There's like a hazardous waste truck that drives by every once in a while. You gotta throw black licorice into the hazardous waste truck.
Yeah, that's gross.
But you can also feed it to the raccoons.
Feed it to the raccoons, of course. When in doubt. Yep. When in doubt.
It's like the achievements. There's one achievement for feeding, what is this, like a vegan cookie, black licorice, and I can't remember the third thing. But the achievement is called...
All of the worst things ever created.
Technically food. If you feed all three of them to a raccoon. It's fun. At first, like, watching the trailer and the screenshots that they sent me, I was sort of like, okay, maybe, mobile game, maybe. But actually playing it, I was like, wow, this is really fun. And just the way, it's pretty hard. I've only been able to get, like, the highest score I saw was something like 18 million, and I've only been able to get 600,000 points. Yeah, it's one of those games where you go until your meter at the bottom, like it fills up with trash, and then you lose. And yeah, just having the raccoons there, and how much faster they start rolling in, and then as you play more, like it adds more and more types of garbage, and so the first time you see a new thing, you don't necessarily know. Sometimes you don't necessarily know what it goes in. Like, one of the things that rolled by was a psychic... What was it say? It said something like psychic ball or whatever. It's basically the crystal ball that psychics look into. So I was like, what the heck is that? That's garbage, right?
It's
like,
it's food for the raccoons. It's glass. Food for the raccoons.
Actually, black licorice was the one that got me the first time. I was like, oh, it's licorice, so it's garbage, right? And I'm like, no? Well, it's not the... And then I game over, I was like, nah! Very sad. But yeah, so fun. I picked that one up after I played their demos. Like, oh, that's really good. And it's not a free-to-play game, which makes it... Like, there's nothing intrusive at all in it. It's like $2 on the app stores. And you go in and there's no ads and there's nothing asking you to buy more stuff or anything. It's like, oh, this is like
the way it's the game should be made.
Yeah.
I just want to say, it's a normal game.
Business as usual, or how it should be.
Pretty much.
No, like, shenanigans it was, of publisher. It was a very nice trying to ever reach in your wallet and grab all your money. Hmm.
Then there was another. So this group, they're called Interdimensional Space Wizards. ISW is usually how they say it. And it's two guys. And they made a game they call Super Combat Junior 2, which has sort of a. So everything in the game is built with voxels, like Minecraft. Or no, it looks like a 3D dot Game Heroes. Is that what it was called?
Yeah. I'm a tank.
Yeah. Yeah, that game. and it's basically a four-player single-screen combat game. And it's cool because you start off and you pick... So each the different characters are just different skins. Then you pick an armor type, and the armor has... They affect how fast you can move, how much health you have, and also how many weapons you can carry between 4 and 8 weapons. And they were demoing on PS4 controllers. I think they want to make it a PS4 game. But it was on a PC at this point. And so they had... So, like... All the face buttons are equipable with weapons and equipment, and depending on your armor, you can also use the four, like, trigger buttons, shoulder buttons. And, yeah, the equipment you can choose ranges from things like short swords, which are really fast, big, like, hammers, which are much slower, and shields, crossbows, bombs... Just like lots of different stuff. And then, yeah, basically you try to kill all, it's like last man standing. Whoever wins or whoever kills everyone else wins. And it has very sort of, I guess it kind of has like a Bomberman feel. Occasionally stuff happens really fast, and especially when people are using bombs and you're just like, not really sure what happened, but everyone got exploded. But it's fun, like, being able, like, just the combinations of equipment you can have and going into battle. Like, I was doing a thing where I purposely picked up 3 shields. I called my build Turtle Power, and it was 3 shields, the heaviest armor, so I was really slow, but I had a ton of health, and then I would hold either a sword so I could poke really quickly, or a giant hammer, which was much harder to aim, so I didn't do that quite as much. But it was fun because when you're not using your shields, they still appear on your character. So I had basically a shield on my left, a shield on my right, and a shield on my back, and I could like get into corners, and then the shields would protect me from all directions. And so the other people would kill each other, and then there'd be one left, and then I could just, like, run up and, like, poke them really quickly. And with my superior health, I would always win a straight-up fight in the middle. It's really cool. It plays really well. Man, a ton of people played that game. There were just, like, there was a mom with 3 kids, and she, at one point, I think jokingly, she was like, okay, so you guys are just going to stay here and I'll come back at 5? And yeah, she kept asking, oh, is it going to be on PlayStation? And they're like, well, we don't really know if we can get dev kits and stuff like that. And she's like, oh, I was kind of disappointed. I would like it on PlayStation too. That would be awesome. Other highlights... Well, oh, actually, so we had one group who's making a Vive game, so a virtual reality game. I have no idea what the end product is going to be like, but it's called Lore right now, and it's supposed to be like... you ever see that anime Escaflowne?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of like that sort of setting. So it's sort of medieval, but with giant mech stuff.
in a giant mech. It was magic.
I think this is more steampunk. Lore is going more steampunk then. Not a magic mech like Escaflowne. Oh, that's right. Like it
steampunk
was magic.
Chronicles. Steampunk Chronicles.
Maybe. Well, that was more sort of cartoony looking though in style, wasn't it?
Yeah.
But it was steampunk. So
it was steampunk in the name RPG show.
Basically. It all makes sense.
Yeah, I have no idea what this game is going to be like in the end, but it's from a developer called Galactivision.
Ew, that's kind of gross.
No lawsuit.
Galactivision? But, yeah, their demo was just packed all day, both days, because I think most people have tried an Oculus Rift, but very few people have tried an HTC Vive, so it was really cool to just be able to go into this room. Yeah, it's like $800, and like there's just been this has been a terrible week for or a terrible month for like releasing VR because they've done such a poor job of it, both of them. But yeah, it was really neat. They set up a demo where, so at this point, I guess all they have is like one section of the city, like a. I think it was like 4 yards by 4 yards, like this small square that you can stand in and you sort of look around in the city. And for the demo at the show, they added these barrels that you can pick up with the controllers and like a sword that you could pick up. And people just, like, there's nothing to this game right now. It's just like barrels you can pick up. And that would be really dumb if it was a, you know, like a real world thing, but because it was in virtual reality, yeah, because it was in VR, people are like, wow, this is amazing. And they're just trying to do different things with the barrels and like the swords.
This is real life.
I mean, can you imagine going into a room and there's like a stack of barrels there? It's like, this is our game.
And it's like, oh, he's got
like, pick up the barrels. And like, put the barrels down and like stack the barrels.
That's it. All right, I'm done. And you pretend to be Mario, and I'm going to pretend to be Donkey Kong, because this is dumb, and I'm going to hit you with all these barrels.
But in virtual reality, people were having a blast, and it was just, it was crazy.
That's what I don't understand. It's like, because, like, people, like, are so amazed by just, like, looking around, and it's like, yeah. No, you do that in real life, right? Seriously. Like, it's like life. It's like,
but there are things like, I think, yeah, like, I agree that that's sort of weird. Like, some of the VR stuff they're talking about, like, virtual tourism and stuff like that. It's like, well, it seems kind of boring.
Can you just look at a picture? Just saying.
In fact, most things in virtual reality, when you put them into words, sound really boring. But I don't know, like, there is something about, like, when was the last time you picked up a barrel, like a wooden barrel?
I don't think I ever have trapped a pool.
I mean,
never, right?
Because this is not a thing that happens in real life. Why, like, what do you need a barrel
well,
for?
Let me see. I'm not someone
we're not,
on a boat.
We're not bootlegging
in the Caribbean like, in the 18th century.
So we're not bootlegging alcohol. This is
or
not a
bootlegger.
Thing.
Yeah.
Like, what would you even? Why would you even have a barrel at this point? Why do you have these things?
What is happening?
What is going on with your life?
So yeah, see, like, I think. That's why, even though it sounds really mundane when you're saying it, it is sort of a new experience for people. Yeah. Weird as it is, and pointless as it is, like, yeah, that's that's what VR is going to be, basically.
Like, this is your life now. This is your life now. Picking up barrels and looking at stuff.
Like, well, so after the show, they sort of let all the devs from the other room have like an hour to play around with the Vive because we just had no time throughout the weekend. And they showed us, I think it's called Sculpt. It's like in Unreal Engine, and
is
you could just like...
Where you just draw and paint?
Yeah, except this one like was like voxel art. So it's like... Minecraft-looking stuff. And yeah, like we sat there watching this guy do it. I was like, this is really cool. Like even just sitting out here watching somebody else do it, it's very entertaining. And they made that one entertaining on purpose. Like it's not, the drawing one that you've probably seen was very like sort of, you get the feelings like, oh, how, if I was good at art, I could make amazing stuff in there.
But I'm not. So why did you try this?
So I'll just play around with it for a day or whatever. But this one, like, the thing that sort of gamified it is that instead of, you do have an eraser tool, but they also added a missile tool, which you can fire at the things that you've made. And because they're voxels, like, they explode into hundreds of shards of little voxel boxes. Like a resogun, I guess.
I don't know what a voxel is.
It's a voxel is a three-dimensional pixel.
So
it's like the smallest unit in 3D.
Interesting.
But they can be really big, like Minecraft, or they could be smaller, like 3D dot Game Heroes.
Oh.
Yes. It was cool. We spent like an hour watching. I think it was like one person play with it. Yeah, there was a ton of stuff to play there. I just didn't get to see most of it. That was on my Garbage, I think, was my favorite. And it was just, man, it was insane to hear. It was like, oh, it only took us 3 months, and we have no background in game development.
What?
And,
what traded into that? Pulling balls, that makes me... That, you know, that.
All fairness, I was like, how long did you think it would take? And they said, well, we thought it would take 2 months. But then it took way longer. It took 3 months. And I was like, are you kidding me?
The range of emotions I have right now.
I was like, that is insane how... Like, wow, most people... The advice I've heard is, if you think it's going to take 3 months, then you should give yourself a year.
It's like... Okay, hold on, Tropical. So it's like, they didn't know what they were getting into, and they're like, oh, it's probably like 3 months to do this, when it's like, most games are like, years in the making. It's like, is that...
Pretty much. But it was like a month, well, I mean, it looks like an SNES game, so it's, you know, it's like, harkens back to a simpler time, but still, it's just like, man.
That doesn't make it any easier, Tropical. It doesn't make it any easier.
So fast.
Well, I mean, I'm sure it's that, not like they made like Charted in like 3 months or something.
Retro City Rampage? I mean, I'm pretty sure that game didn't take 3 months.
That took years.
Yeah,
but see, there's like way more stuff in that one too, and maybe that guy is not as skilled as these people. Who
remember Tekken? This is a game about sorting garbage. It's not rocket science. So,
man,
I don't know, dude. Tetris, so good. Tetris like, wasn't exactly like a balance. 3 month bang out job, just saying. And it's just lining stuff up and clearing it.
I don't know how long Tetris took to make, but I think Tetris was just one guy.
It was.
Yeah. It was just Alexei Kachanov.
Yeah.
But they had two people.
They had two people.
That increased their efficiency by 50%.
So hey.
It was crazy. Yeah.
Meanwhile, in AAA game development, like, we have 100% teams, can't even get games made in, like, 10 years, Final Fantasy 13 or 15, I'm looking at you, just saying, what happened there?
In all fairness, it's a different game now, so. And remember, yeah. They just announced that they weren't actually developing it when it was announced.
Whatever. In development is, like... Yeah, whatever. I don't believe that for a minute. It's like, yeah, you just denounce a game and be like, oh, we're not going to work on it for like a while. Here's some like stuff to show, whatever.
No, because they announced like Type-0. This, well, it wasn't Type-0 at the time, but they announced Type-0 the same time, but they didn't start that until after 13 came out.
Well, that's their problem. They should.
They kind of started it. They must have been in like pre-production. Which is something you have to do.
Yeah.
So it's not like you can just skip pre-production.
I mean, they probably like planned a couple of things, but I'm sure that like that one guy who's now actually, I guess since he actually got a game out there, like, hey, you go ahead and do 15 now because, you know, we're all here.
Yes! Promotion!
Yeah, a lot of those games were progressing very quickly. This is like another one. It's a one-man team, John Harwood Games. He's making a game called Slime of Fury that he's trying to get on Steam right now. And what was he describing it as? Like a... What do you call it? Like a Zeldroid Mania or something?
That's a thing. I think you just made that up.
Zelda Metroidvania?
I guess, yeah.
Oh my gosh.
I need to like, there's gotta be like a book on Amazon I gotta buy about this of like how to just like crap out a game in like no time. I've got some ideas that like, I mean, sure it's not like just sorting garbage, but I mean, once I've got one done, it's like, well, at least I got that feather in my cap. And from there,
great. Why don't you just like team up with Tropical? Then it'll be two of you guys.
Let's crap out a game.
There's two of you. This could work, guys.
Quote of the episode. Let's crap out a game.
You know, actually, we could kind of go into this in the middle segment. That we can... Is it materializing? Is this the middle segment? Maybe.
Yay! Nameless podcast where we just make
it. Took less than 3 months. That's how long the middle segment took. Less than 3 months.
Game dev has been on my mind just because I've been around developers all weekend. But yeah, like that one, Slime of Fury, Super Combat Jr., actually, I saw it 3 months before they showed it at the show, and it was a totally different thing at that point. It was like, wow, it has progressed so much in 3 months. It's crazy. And the crazy thing is, like, these people all have day jobs. I think only one of them is actually the creators of Race the Sun on basically every platform now. They're the only ones who are doing game dev full time. Everybody else is, like, working in other industries while they're doing game dev on the side.
It's called multitasking, guys.
You should listen to Shia LaBeouf. Don't let your dreams be dreams. Just do it.
I don't think he's really...
He seems unbalanced right now.
I wouldn't use him as my...
He is quite skilled in his craft.
That's being crazy? I mean, it doesn't take skill to be crazy. Look at Tekken. He does it all the time. For fun. For fun.
So yeah, that's what I've been playing.
Alrighty. Do you want to go next RPG?
I guess. Since you refuse to go. Nah, change my mind. You can go.
Okay, alright.
I'm trying to find a taxi cab right now, so.
Start for Jesus the moment or something. Still playing XCOM on the Vita. It's got some issues. There's some slowdown. It's, you know, it's whatever. Buckling under its own weight. But, you know, besides the minor things, it doesn't, like, affect, you know, the moment-to-moment in the heat of battle when you're facing down an enemy squadron of aliens or exalt units. And the current, I've got, you know, since you can only, like, really... Or, like, it's probably more efficient to just, like, play one scenario at a time. But the one I'm going through... Not going that great. Got like half the map, you know, wanting to abandon us. Like panic levels all over the place.
Oh, no.
Stuff's gone down. I mean, I haven't been losing a lot of units, but you know, the XCOM coalition is kind of falling apart because I'm not.
The war goes badly.
Yeah, the battle is going badly, and you know, yeah, panic levels are rising, and I'm trying to get there, but it's taking time. So I'm to the part where you get to the giant alien base after you interrogate one of the aliens. And so, I gotta do that. So we'll see if we can hold out and send in the units and, like, take them down. But I don't know, dude. It could end badly, and everybody could leave the XCOM coalition. And, yeah, and then I'll have to start all over. But I won't start all over. I think I'll just go back to Final Fantasy because this game is taking a long time to play through. And Tekken's got a backlog to clear, so I'll just come back to it later on console or PC because it runs... Or, like... Less frequent load times, because, yeah, there's a lot of them. And on a handheld, when you're, like, playing 15 minutes at a time, which is how I play when I'm at work, because it's like, you know, that's all I got. That's not as efficient. So yeah.
Do you have Enemy Within on the other
platforms? I have the PS3, okay. 360, and PC versions of it. And I think I got I got the vanilla version on 360, but then I got the expansion one on PS3 and PC. So I should never play the expansion one until the Vita version. I was like, oh, the melding. So yeah, because it's a good game. It's one of those where I felt man, this game's awesome. I have to buy every copy of it because that's how good it is. It's one of those. And then I finished Uncharted. The first one, so score one for Deacon. It's a pretty good game. Pretty good game. And the pacing is kind of interesting in that game, because it's you got your puzzling, you got your platforming, you got your shooty stuff, and then sometimes it's mixed in between.
Shooty stuff.
And then the last third of the game, it gets a bit weird of stuff's going down, and you find out what's going on, and it's huh. But then the final boss is what the F is that, man? That was just super weird. CQC, or not CQC, QTE, and don't get shot, and it was weird. It was a very weird design choice, and I was okay, whatever. And then I went on to Uncharted 2, and that game is amazing. The vistas, and I keep saying, as I play this game, as I'm streaming, I'm just man, this looks so good. I don't know if it looks as good on PS3, because I have it on PS3, I just never played it. The PS4, the remastered version by those blue whatever people, man, so good. I keep just looking at the screen of man, this looks so good for a PS3 game. But it's PS4, so it looks even better. So yeah, Tropical's right. Redo Last Gen. I don't care what RPG says. Just redo it all, and we have 60 frames, 1080p.
Such a waste of time.
And
we want to see it all.
No compression on cutscenes. Because those 300 cutscenes just amazing. It's just oh my gosh, just yes, the detail and all the in real time it looks even better because it's just the detail on all the textures and just you're in this ice cave in Nepal. It was so good. It was so good. I was just man, this is just this is Last Gen looking Next Gen, and it's I'm glad I didn't. I'm glad I don't have the terrible memories from Last Gen to ruin it and be oh man, it looks so much better. It's I've never seen this, so I can go back and be ooh, look how terrible it is. I should probably do that because I could be man, PS4, I love you. I'm never going back. I think I'm at the very end on two, so doing that.
Probably. Because it's you're in that temple place, maybe.
Aero went through the ice, so.
I'm at the part.
The ice cave.
I'm at the part of the. Well, I'm not going to say where I'm at, but I'm at this tree, and I'm oh, I must be at the end because something just happened in
the
cutscene.
Why won't you say where you're at? I mean, everyone's probably already.
Whoa.
Except you.
Whoa, RPG. There's no statute.
I mean, even I've beaten Uncharted 2, so I mean,
there's
come
no
on
statute of limitations on spoilers. That's why. So yeah, and so you shouldn't say that thing about episode 4 about that one planet that one thing blows up. Okay, even though everybody knows it, not everybody's in the movie, so it's not cool. Okay, don't do it.
No idea what you're talking about.
I think RPG has had Star Wars spoiled more than any other person. I know.
It's true.
I mean, he hasn't seen Force Awakens, which is more understandable, and he knows stuff about that one already as well.
It's true as well. These are
actually, I saw something on the internet today about they're going to re-air the original trilogy in theaters again. So whatever, I'm down for that.
Yeah,
I'd like to die and say I've seen every
sort of a lie.
Of them. Oh darn!
Because it's not it is, but it's the special edition from '97.
Oh well.
So it's kind of the original trilogy.
That's what I just want to see. Yeah, some sweet Dagobah action. On an actual theater screen, that'd make.
I guess
life.
We do have bigger theater screens now, so it might be awesome.
You have bigger TV screens, and they had movie screens back then.
But yeah, Uncharted, it's really cool. The second one, anyway, is you can really see that they took their craft of the characters and the story, or just the character building and stuff of there's this part where Drake gets captured. It is my favorite part in the game so far, even though it's just a stupid funny part of he gets captured and then Sully comes and breaks him out. Well, he doesn't break him out, he bails him out. And then before he bails him out, he's just sitting in there and he's doing these hand puppets to himself is like, oh, well, the thing you forgot was, he's just, like, being stupid and goofy, but it's like, I love it, because, like, Nathan Drake is so awesome. It's like, he's, like, one of my new favorites. He's just so it's like, it's just, like, the funniest one-liners, like, all the time, just, like, shooting zingers, it's great. In the middle of firefights, he'll be like, oh, something, something, something. It's like, oh, ha, you're so funny, Drake. It's like, ah, I love it, love it. I fell in love with that character.
That guy only ever did on,
I'm so glad I finally played it. Charted. And I can look forward to like playing 3 after this, and looking forward to being 4, part of the zeitgeist. It'll be great. It'll be great. Unless it's terrible. But hey,
Don't do it, Taken. Don't do it.
I can finally be one of the mini, or whatever. So yeah, besides that, Uncharted and XCOM, playing some, that game that starts with a D. I don't know if I really want to talk about it, but I guess I'll talk about it, whatever.
Talking about Destiny? The game you love?
Whatever. It's okay, it's okay. It's like, I am back.
Play Donkey Kong?
No, I'm not talking about Donkey Kong RPG, I'm talking about Destiny. Oh. It's cool, it's cool, it's whatever. It's like, I've reconciled with this game, you know? It's like, I think all those weeks of talking terribly about it on the podcast have just, like, it got it off my, like, you know, I finally got it off my chest, and, like, you know, since I was only, like, nibbling at it a bit, and, you know, I took the plunge in, and I was, like, playing, like, over 12 hours, like, the last 2 days. It was great. Well, it wasn't great, but it was whatever, man. It's whatever, man. Like, wow. You know.
I guess we'll see if this is, it turns out to be battered spouse syndrome.
or just a quickie. It's like, we both have needs, so. Well,
the thing was, you know. Is like, you know, I found the secret sauce in Destiny of, like, you know, for me playing it after all these years of abuse, because it's 2 year 2, because it's more than one. And, like, why I keep coming back? Because my friends play this game, and there hasn't been, like, a friend game to play with friends since, like, my homies in the game advisory panel, you know.
That's, you know, true.
It's been a long time since we've had our sweet nightly or weekly game we can all hang out and shoot stuff in the face with, and, you know, I guess this is my current one in the current gen until Mass Effect Andromeda comes along, and, you know, whatever, because I was all in the raid, just, like, whatever, going through the motions, and Zara was like, I missed you, Tekken, and I was like, okay, whatever, and then I was, like, laughing, but in my mind I was like, that's kind of creepy, but whatever, so I guess. Wow. I have some, like, weird bromance thing going on with Zaffer now. And
wait, so you guys raided yesterday?
Yeah, we did.
Oh.
We were super rusty. Well, not super rusty, but, you know, it wasn't the smoothest of raids, but we got through
one. They were rusty? I thought they'd been playing this whole time.
Well, it's a six-person team, Tropical, so it's like, you get one weak link, you've got a weak team. Or not a weak team, but, like, you know, you're going to have issues. And then Hobo was playing Dark Souls 3, so we had not Hobo with us. So, yeah, but we got through, it's fine, whatever.
Not randos.
No, we didn't have randos. Well, we had, like, one person on my friends list playing with us, but whatever.
Okay.
I can vouch for them. It's cool. Whatever, we did fine. But, Prison of Elders, your 2 is, like, totally, whatever. I don't really want to say anything about, like, the update, because it's all terrible, and I don't, like, you know, go off the deep end about how negative I am on this game, or saying, you know, I'm at peace with this game, but I gotta say, I had a bit higher expectations, and those expectations were not met. But hey, whatever, it's cool. I'm at peace with the game, and, you know, I'm just gonna, like, slow and steady win the race as I get to 335 this time, and I just, like, be all grinding it out and being like, oh, I gotta do this every week and gotta get this piece of 320, and, like, oh, get the 320 drops, and, like, oh, I gotta do the strikes, oh, I gotta get my knife files. It's like, dude, or, like, I do my trials. It's like, I'm just gonna take it easy and, like, you know, have fun and do my raids with my homies and some nightfalls, get some sweet drops, hopefully, and get all the exotics. And then, you know, I'll make my own personal list of what I need to do in the game and do that, because, you know, I don't really care about this game anymore. So, you know, my happiest time in the future is when this game goes offline. I can be like, ha, it's dead. Suck it, Destiny. You're dead. I outlived you, and I'm on your corpse dancing. Wow.
Oh, dear. This got, like, really dark. I don't know what happened.
But until then,
like, I made peace with it, and now I'm dancing on its corpse. I'm like, oh, okay, all right.
Voice RPG. Cool. That's how I came to peace with this game. It was like, you know, the gift I would give it is the gift of death. So, you know, as soon as that happens, that's as happy as I can get. But until then, it's like, I'm just going to give this game the death sentence and, like, steer clear from this game. Everybody I talk to, I'll be like, don't play this game. It'll ruin your life. it'll suck the fun out of your life, and you'll hate yourself. Stay away, be free of your destiny. But since I'm kind of stuck, but I'm not stuck because Outer Links expansion, I'm out of here. Oh, I'm just gonna, like, you know, live it up and just, you know, have fun getting to 335 and, you know, trying to get there. And, you know, if not, whatever. It's like, I'm not gonna let it get to me this time. It's like, oh, I didn't get a 335 drop. Oh, I didn't get a 330 drop. It's like, eh, whatever. It's like, and I totally, like, see what they're doing anyway. It's like, playing it now is that the thing. It's kind of like the thing that they did when you're like 300 to 310 or whatever, or like 299. Like, 299 and below, like, you don't get any 300 or 310 drops, but, like, when you're at 300 or higher, you have a chance to get a 310 exotic or whatever, blah, blah, blah. So it's, like, it's basically just that. Because it's, like, I was going to the raid, I was, like, I wasn't expecting to get sweet, awesome drops, and, like, they're okay. It's, like, 320-something, whatever, blah, blah, blah. But it's, like, you know, it's, like, clearly it's not just going to, like, automatically, like, oh, here's your sweet 330 or 335, so whatever. That being said, I did get some, like, awesome... not double drops, but both my Hunter and my Warlock got, like, 330 weapons from the Gunsmith this week when I leveled him up, because I still had weapons to test, and I totally was, like, and that's why I was slowly, like, playing a bit over the last couple weeks, is I just wanted to, like, make sure all my levels in the game were, like, at to where they would, like, top off this week when the update came out, where I'd get, like, sweet stuff from the Vanguard or the Faction or the Gunsmith or whatever, like, all the crap that you level up, so it's, like, I'd get some, like, high-level stuff, so it's, like, and I finally leveled up my Gunsmith and got some sweet 330 guns, and I put one of them into my Red Death for Trials and one of them into my Touch of Malice to kill things in the raid, so I'm ready for... Well, I guess I didn't really need to do that for the raid, but whatever, it's... I'll kill stuff faster, it's fine, so... But, yeah, that's how that's going, and that's probably how it's going to go, because... Oh, and then Gamer got, like, the Zen Meteor out of the hard raid we did, so he can go F himself, but, you know... I'm sure.
Is that the new gun?
Yeah, that's the new sniper rifle exotic that's PlayStation exclusive, so, you know.
It's all fiery.
Yeah.
Looking.
Yeah. So, you know, maybe we'll be able to raid somewhere to the podcast. I don't know if they're online right now, but, you know, we'll see. So, but that's where I'm at. Pretty much is just, you know, raid night, having fun with my friends, and my Nightfalls, and maybe some Prison Elders, but not really, because it's just lame, boring, and... not worth the wait or hype, so whatever. And watching this game die a slow death, and I'm going to enjoy it every second, so, you know. I hope I can put that last dagger in it, in the back, when the time comes, but, you know, until then, I will be telling everybody I know to stay clear of this game, because it's a trap. It hooks in you, it wants to suck everything out, and I'm not allowed to do that anymore, so yeah. That's all I've been playing, I think. Let's see. Uncharted, Destiny, XCOM. I'm pretty sure that's all I played. Yeah, that's all I played. I'm waiting. I think there's a new Hitman mission that comes out this month sometime, but not anytime soon. And I didn't pick up Ratchet like I might have, because I was like, eh, I wouldn't play it anyway, so. I mean, it would just, like, went into the backlog, so.
I'll wait for a sale, whatever. And that's all I've been playing.
Cool. So, how's everybody doing today? Alright, now, I should point out, before I talk about what I've been playing, that I did play a mobile game, despite the fact how I feel about them, so do not judge me.
I know which one it is.
Is it the Kingdom Hearts one?
It is. Now, in my defense, it's Kingdom Hearts. So, it happens.
But is it? Is the question.
Well, of course not. It's a mobile game. That's not really Kingdom Hearts. Oh, no. The silly question is that. But...
you know, theoretically, you could run a PS2 level game on a modern smartphone.
Tropical, don't stop sounding like a crazy person. Just stop sounding like a crazy person.
The memory alone, man.
But no, it has like this whole cutesy little art style thing going on for it and everything. I mean, it's a pretty adorable game, but it's not Kingdom Hearts enough for me because all it's doing is making me mad. So I'm like, oh, but this is not Kingdom Hearts 3 though, guys. This is nothing but lies.
Looks like 8 Rhythms art style.
Yeah, that's the art style they're using. Yeah, it's the 8 Rhythm. I mean, I don't know. I don't know. It in the timeline, it's supposed to like take place like before all of the games. So it's one of those things where it's like, well, this is pointless to me then because the other stuff has already happened, and this is pretty much a foregone conclusion then because I already know how everything ends up until this point. So, yeah. So there's no point of actually playing it. But the way it works is like you can, like you do these missions. You do these series of missions and you basically like fight Heartless like repeatedly over and over again. And there's like, you can like, it's weird because it's kind of like a turn-based action RPG somehow, which is stranger because it's a Kingdom Hearts game, so it's weird, but I don't know, man. I don't know. I haven't played it recently, but I started because I needed something to play until Dark Souls and Ratchet and Clank came out, and it had Kingdom Hearts in the name, so I was like, fine, guys, I'll play it for the time being, but I won't be happy about it. So I did. But that was it, and then I stopped playing it because I'm free.
can we briefly touch on the other mobile thing that came out recently, which was Miitomo? Have you touched that recently?
I haven't used that recently either, but once again, yeah. Nothing else was happening, so I had no choice.
It was, like, interesting for a day, maybe. And then after that, I was like, this is so tedious.
Yeah, because when it first came out, everyone was doing it, so I'm like, oh, this is cool, because all my friends have it. But then I was like, okay, I'm not checking this anymore, because this is starting to become work. And
The longer it takes to get through the stuff. And yeah, what's just your reward for getting through the stuff? It's like, well, I don't really know. The only thing I still like is how it reads everything. I think that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, like the little robot voices for everything.
Yeah, it has, like, synthesized voices for everybody. And, like, everyone chooses their own voice. And there's sort of, you know, almost like EQ controls so that you can sort of customize it. But I think, yeah, all the male voices sound like robots. The female voices sound okay, like almost human. The male voices
robotic-y, though.
I chose, like, this weird inflection where everything my character says sounds like a question because it goes up at the end.
why are you doing this?
When you, like, listen to any of the comments or anything I've written on people's, I don't know what they're called, their answers or whatever. Like, nothing sounds like a statement for my character.
It's like, why are you asking so many questions, Job to go? Why are you asking so many questions?
Yeah, like, that part's really neat. But then, beyond that, it's like, well, now I have, you know, when I had one person on my friends list, and I was like, oh, they said their favorite food was whatever. And it's like, yay, and then you're just sort of done. But then, now I have, like, 6, I think, and it's just, like, so many question and answers, so many things to click through. It's like, why am I even doing this? Like, I don't know what I get for this.
Nothing, except the satisfaction of knowing that your friends are weird. Because that's how it works. Because once everybody started, like, free requesting me, because I think I have, like, 26 friends or something on there now, and it's just, like, just going through all these responses, I was like, okay, I just don't care anymore.
Yeah.
So I feel like, so I just kind of just like just hold my finger down on the phone and let it like speed read through it all, just so I can get the coins. And I was like, well, I'm done. So, done for the day. But I haven't like been on it in a while. But yeah, I was like, it got to the point where I was just like, okay, I just don't care.
Yeah.
I just don't care. So it's like
for some reason, you know, people were comparing it with like, other types of social media. They're basically saying, oh, Miitomo is like social media Nintendo style in that people don't get to say just whatever random thing they want. Nintendo asks you a question and then everyone, so it's like predetermined topics by Nintendo. But man, it's just like, it's so boring after a while, whereas like things like Twitter is like, I can still look at Twitter and be mildly entertained. Whereas, like, Mito, I was like, no. I don't want any more.
Like, I'm done with you. I can't do it, man. I can't do it. It's like, what do you want from me, Mitomo? What do you want from me?
He wants you to click it every day.
I don't wanna.
So, like, I guess apparently you earn... I don't know what you earn. You earn, like, coins. And what can you do with the coins? You can, like, buy customization stuff for your character, and that's it?
Costumes and stuff, yeah. I think the only, like, other thing you get from it is, like, the game tickets, which you can play to, like, play those drop games to get costume pieces. You can also, like, I guess, like, do... how's it called? Get, like, the platinum coins and stuff from your... For your for my Nintendo account. Yeah, the new thingy that they're doing now.
Mm. And the platinum ones are the ones that you can use to get discounts, like, on games and stuff? Yeah. What is this guy
doing? I think he's helping us. Don't kill him.
The sounds of Dark Souls.
It's weird. But, yeah, I'll talk about that in a second, because it's like, they added, like, a new type of phantom, so it's like, it's weird. It's weird, man. It's weird. I'm watching him in action right now. But yeah, it's like, I don't know, man. Like, after the first day, it's like all my excitement, like, just died out from it. And I was like, okay, I'll check it, I guess, occasionally. But now it's like, it'll notify me when something happens. And I'm just like, yeah, I don't care, Nintendo. I just don't care.
Give me something fun to play. I thought that was your thing.
It's like, we're done here, Nintendo. We're done here. So... yes, I went into the mobile, and I just left it alone. I was like, nope, we're done with you. Real stuff has come out now. I don't have to lie to myself anymore and pretend like this is fun. It's like, it's fine. It's fine. But yeah, so that happened. But I picked up Ratchet & Clank and Dark Souls 3 this past Tuesday. And I started Ratchet and Clank first, and then my full intention was to actually, like, play Dark Souls after, but then I ended up playing, like, Ratchet and Clank, like, all day, and I was like, well, that was not productive at all. I didn't do this right. So I was just like blazing through it and enjoying it, because the game looks amazing, and I don't know, man. I don't know what kind of sorcery they're working over there at Insomniac, but it looks amazing. And I just, yeah. Just amazing. Just amazing.
Amazing enough for you to want the PS3 versions remastered?
Why would I do that if I already have a PS4 version? That doesn't even...
I mean, that's only Ratchet and Clank. That's not the other ones after that one that are not on PS4.
Yeah, but I mean, you don't need them. This is like a reimagining of...
Well, do you think they should reimagine the rest of them? Hmm.
Of Ratchet and Clank and their niceness and their humor and their all that other stuff and other things. And I love Ratchet and Clank is my response to that. Because I guess it's one of those things, like, you don't realize you miss something until you, like, play something new from it after, like, a while, because I think the last Ratchet and Clank game came out, like, years ago or something, and it's like, I didn't realize how much I missed it until I played this, and I was like, oh my gosh, where have you been all my life? I missed you so much. I missed you so much. So, it's greater because it's like, the framing device for this one is Captain Quark is actually narrating the entire thing, which actually brings up a lot of questions, because, like, how would he know what's going on if he's, like, not around? But I don't know. I just stopped questioning it after a while. I was like, I can accept it. It's Captain Quark. He lies all the time. It's, like, his thing. So, of course, he could just be making up stories about things that are adventures that Ratchet's having, even though he's not seen him for this entire time. So... it's great. But he always, like, interjects his random stuff. And there was, like, one moment where he was like, and now they have to face the zombified T-Rex. And then the guy he was telling the story to was like, I'm pretty sure you're lying. He's like, yeah, it's true. So I'm just trying to make the story exciting. But then he actually told the normal story and was like, oh, I would have actually liked to fight a zombified T-Rex. Now I'm sad because there's no zombified T-Rex. But yes, and they've added it is like a reimagining, but it's like, some of the old guns do make appearances, but they're like remixed and there's like a bunch of new weapons too. So you can kind of like play around with stuff and everything. They've taken the stuff from like the more recent games, like the being able to upgrade your weapons with customizing the weapons with like the different skills and stuff and them leveling up and everything. And they kind of like put it into this one. So it's like, it has like the new game mechanics, but it's like kind of like the first game in the series kind of thing. So, but yeah, cause like they even have like the clank sections now, which weren't existent until, which game is it? I forget, but it was like later on, but, and his parts, I don't think so. Cause I think that was the one where he actually sat out the game. Well, there was a game where he did. Oh wait, which one was that? There was one where he sat out and it wasn't that one, but yeah, I think I want to say crap. I don't remember, but I know it was like one of the later ones. So he has his parts in this one where he goes off to like, do things and his stuff is more puzzle based than, Ratchet's. More action-y, gun-shooty looking scenes. So it's like he has these robots that he can reprogram into different types of robots, like bridge bots and jump bots and power bots and stuff. And like he can solve environmental puzzles and things to kind of like fix stuff and everything going on. So it's quite a bit different. And like for poor Tekken, he would never get through it because a lot of it involves opening doors and just like, well, guess you're never getting past this. So yes. You would be doomed, Tekken. You would be doomed. But yes, I am thoroughly enjoying it. It has the wonderful Ratchet & Clank humor, and the game looks amazing, and the weapons are fun to use, and it's like, it's crazy, man. It can get chaotic. I'm playing the game on hard as well, since I've already played Ratchet & Clank games before, so I figured instead of just playing it on the normal difficulty, I'd play it on hard and just add a little bit of challenge, and maybe that means I could use the weapons more often too. So, yep, it's something. It's great. I heart this game. I heart it so much. And then the other game I picked up was Dark Souls 3, which I actually didn't play that much of because I had been primarily playing Ratchet and Clank because I was like absorbed into it, and I was like, oh, just one more mission, and then I ended up playing like a whole other planet, and I was like, okay, I'm never going to play Dark Souls at this rate, so I had to eventually just put the game down. It's like, okay, I have to start this, because otherwise I'm never going to start it. But there's been quite a few changes, I guess, to the series ever since, like, Bloodborne happened, because there's like obviously a lot of Bloodborne influence in this game, which I don't know how I feel about it, because for instance, like the enemy types they have now, there's like been several like transforming ones, and I am not a fan of some of them, because they're like super annoying. Because there was one early one, like the first boss you fight against actually changes into like this weird sludge rat thing. And it snakes around the level when you fight him, but then it's like, okay, it's fine, because this is a boss. But then when you go through the normal level and you start fighting randos that turn into these sludge rat things, it's like, okay, what the hell? Why are you turning into bosses in the middle of my levels? So it was kind of jarring when it happened the first time. And then when it kept happening, I was like, okay, guys, okay, stop doing what you're doing right now. Because this is getting annoying. And then I get to this other level, and then there's this enemy that, like, sprouts wings and turns into, like, this weird, like, crow beast monster thing. And I'm like, I don't know how I feel about this. I don't like all these cursed monsters. Why are you doing this to me? So there's also, the enemies are more aggressive now, and combat's a lot faster, so it's not, like, the whole wait-and-see approach as it was to, like, some of the older Souls games, where it's, like, more, you know, learn from your mistakes and then kind of proceed from there. So you kind of have to somewhat be on the offensive as well, like you were in Bloodborne. And they've also, I mean, as a result, they've also made it easier to do like counterattacks and stuff as well. Because since you couldn't really defend in Bloodborne, it was very, it was very, what's the word I'm looking for? Very, like, aggressive type gameplay.
Offensive?
So, yeah, so it's like you, so they made it easier for you to do, like, backstabs and, like, parrying stuff, because it's like, I guess it's more, you know, you being on the offensive instead of just being on the defensive all the time, so you can kind of read the enemy's movements and their patterns and everything, and kind of go from there, and some of them actually, like, change their tactics to kind of mimic the players sometimes, like, some of them will just, like, in previous Souls games, they usually just, like, rush, and they'll just, like, attack you just randomly, but this one, some of them will actually, like, kind of just wait with their shield up and kind of, like, circle you to try to see what you're gonna do, and then it's like I don't know how I feel about this. It's like, I don't like this, so it's kind of funny, because, like, now you can't just, you know, use the same tactics you could before, so, let's see what other influences did that game have on that. I don't know, but there's been quite a few, you know, changes and stuff made, so it's enjoyable for the most part, but I've noticed that it seems like they've made it a bit more difficult for leveling up now, because it seems like the scale, like, jumps up quicker than it did in the previous games, so you can't, like, just, like, hoard souls and power level like you could in the past, and they've also, like, tweaked, like, the balance for a lot of different weapons and the magic and stuff, so it is... interesting, but I had like my first, like, six player, like, melee brawl this afternoon when I was playing, because, like, one of the host was able to summon, like, three of us, which I'm actually not sure how, because, like, the limit is two phantoms, and then he got invaded twice at the same, so it's like there were six of us there, and I was like, oh my gosh, melee. So That was kind of cool, because, like, now it can be up to six players and everything. So you have, like, your usual white and red phantoms, but they've added, like, a new one with the purple phantoms, which are called mad phantoms. Apparently, the way they work is, it's like they can be summoned normally, or they can invade you, depending on however they feel like, I guess, coming into your game. But the trick is, though, they're allowed to actually harm the host and the phantoms that are with the host, even if they were summoned as, like, a co-op partner. So it's one of those things, like, they can help you, but then they can betray you at the last second if they choose to and just start killing everybody. And it's like, haha, it's because I'm crazy. Because I'm crazy. So, yeah, it's weird because, I mean, the game warns you before you summon one of them as your co-op partner, because it's like, do you really want to do this? Are you sure? It's like, okay. I guess no, since you made such a big deal about it, so... But yeah, it is interesting because but also, cause I guess, like, in that vein, they're not allowed to go into boss battles with you, probably to prevent, like, the whole, like, trolling people thing where it's like, I helped you up to this point and now I backstabbed you with the boss. LOL. Because I'm pretty sure that would piss off a lot of people, because some of these bosses, like, it's funny because it's like, in previous Souls games, like, the first boss is usually, like, you can lose and then it'll take you to the hub level here, but you can actually beat the first boss. So after that, you go up to the hub area after you've beaten the boss or whatever. But it's like, was it the second boss? No, not that one. Like, the third boss that I fought, like, which is pretty early in the game, it's like, was this giant treant thing, and it was, like, annoying because I didn't, like, know what to do, because there's no more fog gate, so you really don't know when you're going up to a boss battle, except for the fact that it's like, this place looks ominous, so maybe it's a boss, and then it'll just randomly start if you fulfill whatever condition it is to start the battle, and then you could attack. But yeah, it was like this treant thing, and it's gigantic, and you can only hurt it by hitting, like, the pus bubbles on it, and there's, like, one on its crotch, and then, like, a couple randomly placed on its body, and then they pop, and you can't hit them anymore, and then it, like, breaks the floor, and then you fall down, and then it starts, like, standing up and attacking and throwing tantrums and stuff, and it's weird, and I was like, I don't like this, I need an adult, and there was a treant there trying to eat my face, and I was not amused, so that was happening, and some of these bosses, I've only fought, like, three of them so far, and I'm already worried about what this game is gonna, like, start throwing at me, because they've been weird. they've been weird. So, I've also run into a couple of covenants, but so far it's only been the covenants that have been in the previous games, like the what the hell's the Sunlight Peoples, those guys. I mean, people have just been calling them the Sun Bros, so I don't actually remember their official name anymore. But and then also the Way of the Blue. I also found the Blue Sentinel Covenant, which was like introduced, I think, in the second one. That auto summons you to somebody who got invaded, so you can like help them out as like a Blue Sentinel. They're like the semi police of the Dark Souls world. Although I think they also introduced the actual police ones back into the, because like I remember in like the previous Dark Souls when I was talking about the Book of the Guilty ones, that covenant's back in this game. So that means we now have the official Book of the Guilty people back, and you might not want to do anything bad because they'll be after you. So yeah, I'm enjoying it so far, but it has both its good and frustrating points. I mean, I haven't run into anything like too frustrating yet, thankfully, but I'm sure it's bound to happen because it's Dark Souls. So, I mean. But yeah. And that's pretty much all I've been playing.
Okie dokie. Also, just for a update, or as we keep track of this, my current max light level character is 326, on the road to 335. So when I get there, but I'm only 9 away right now. So we'll see how we go. How many weeks it takes? And I tweeted it out on Twitter. I was like, how long is it gonna take, dudes? A week? A month? Stuck at 334 forever? And it was like one vote for like one week, and one vote for you're gonna be stuck at 334 for forever, Tekken. And then on Facebook, two people were like, oh, it'll take you 2 weeks tops. So yeah, a range of answers to that one, but I guess we'll see eventually.
It's a trap. So, I don't know why, because you're going to get right up to 334, and then it's like, LOL, you got destinied, because you're never going to ever hit the max level again.
Yeah, but on that point, it's jokes on them, because after year two, I'm done. After year three, they can go F themselves. As I watch from afar as they die their slow death before I dag the last dagger in their back. It'll be great. Yeah. It'll be great.
Oh, dear.
They won't make it 10 years because they'll be dead by then. Just saying.
Oh my. Oh my. Why are you doing this, Tekken? Who hurt you?
They know what they
did. Who hurt you?
They did. No boots. No ghost shell. They know what they did to me.
Oh,
the
my.
Months of grinding. All for nothing. All for what? Sorry. We need to continue. Middle segment. So, yeah.
It's okay. Talking. We understand your pain. That's why we stopped playing.
Are we talking about crapping out games?
Are we?
Crapping out games. Yeah.
Are we?
Well, okay. So I know at some point Tekken had talked about learning about how to make games. And I think it maybe was like a year ago or 2 years ago.
Did I?
Wait, no, I think 2 years ago was about making websites.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, at some point, I recall you mentioning learning how it works.
I did.
Do you know anything about it?
I do not.
You don't know anything about it?
Well, that's not a good start. That's not a good start at all.
So your surprise over 3 month production for a complete game is because
he doesn't know how it works,
or is it because like the stories that we always hear is like, oh, 2 years,
well, it's
3 years,
and like
and it's delayed.
I've actually like tried to learn how to like program, and I've always been terrible at it. So it's like to hear that is like, man, why can that happen to me? I must be doing something wrong with my life or something.
Because you didn't try hard enough.
Well, when was that? Was that a while ago, or is
that was a while ago, Chapter Cool? That was like, wow, maybe 10 years ago.
That Do you remember like what type of programming?
Well, okay, there's like two times in my lifetime where I tried learning programming, and like once was in high school, and then once was in college, and then like. Mm-hmm. So bad. Yeah.
Just started randomly going crazy.
I mean, Visual Basic was, like, okay and easy enough, but then, like, C, C++ is, like, I just can't do it. And then, like, I think in college it was the same thing, the same program. I'm not sure. Was it C++? Mm-hmm. It was something else, maybe. I don't know. I have some big book. I read it a couple times. It's whatever. I sucked at it. That's all I remember. It's like, man, this is hard.
Yeah, actually, a lot of colleges, they do teach. Well, I think they teach less C++ now because it's very, like, complicated. And we have easier ones to learn sort of the basics of programming. So as far as, like, game making, have you looked at any of the free engines? Which is basically all of them now.
I've looked at them, but I haven't, like, recently tried to, like, use any of them. Because I think I downloaded Unity or some form of Unity. I just never used it. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah. And then, like, I bought something on Steam that was, like, some game programming thing, and, like, I never used it. And I was like, oh, I'll do this sometime. And then, you know, just walked away and, like, yeah, that's never happened.
I created. Well, so I guess, like, if you don't mind, like, what is your game idea?
I have a lot of game ideas. I just haven't...
Name it. Let's talk a game idea, though.
I don't have, like, any concrete ones that are, like... Because I always have, like, these ideas, I never write them down. I'm like, man, I should write these down. But it's, like, I don't, like, really have any. It's just, like, I should... Like,
Occasionally they pop into your mind.
Like, my current idea now is just to, like, make some simple thing and then be like, okay, now that I've, like, done it, I can just take that experience and start building on top of that.
And the simple thing, like, it doesn't matter what it is?
Yeah, it's just, like, whatever. It's just, like, it can be as basic as it needs to be as long as it's working. Or, like, as long as the game works, it's, like, that's all that matters.
In that case, like, there is a ton of places you can go now, like... So...
I just always put it off. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it eventually, whatever. Like, it never gets done.
Yeah, there's a ton of places you can go now to actually do that. If you don't care what the game is... Like, Unity itself, like, they have there's a learn section on the Unity website that starts from, like, super beginner stuff. Like, the one I looked at recently, it was basically you roll a ball around and you collect these, like, spinning yellow squares. And that's the game. And it took me, like, an hour and a half, maybe, to make it. Following this tutorial. So, like, the tools are... They're super powerful, but, like, to make a really basic thing, it's really... Well, is it really easy? It's pretty easy.
For you.
I guess it depends on, like, how bad you think your programming ability was. But, like, the tutorials, anyway, like, they go through everything step by step, so you're just, like, sitting there and watching them explain every single line of everything, and there was very little code in this tutorial, anyway. Because a lot of stuff now, you know, before, I remember in college learning the stuff, because it's not, you don't build it in a game engine, you build it just with, like, Visual Studios or whatever, and so you're writing everything, like, there's basically nothing before you start writing the code, and then you write the code, and that makes everything. Whereas with game engines now, they come with so much stuff. It's like before, for example, if you wanted to display a picture of a square, just like a flat 2D sprite square or whatever, you had to write out and tell the computer how to display it, and then tell it... Like, I don't think you... I don't think, like, I drew a square and then said, hey, display a square. It was like, all right, computer, this is how you draw. And, yeah, so it was very complicated, whereas, like, with Unity, it really almost is you draw a square, or you, like, search square in Google and copy a square, and then you drag it into your project. And then you just drag it into the scene, and then there's a square there. You literally write nothing for a lot. There's, like, way more drag and drop type stuff now.
So easy, even I can do it?
Probably. Like, I think if you can follow instructions, that first tutorial is super easy. Mm-hmm. And then from there, like, you sort of know, like, you know, you learn a lot of basics from that one, how to use the program, essentially. And then from there, yeah, I guess you don't necessarily have to be limited by your skill. I think you can just, like, think up what you want to do and then figure out how to make the program do it. And if you're not a good programmer, the programming and the code part will look really crappy or inefficient to real programmers, but it's like, whatever, it works. If you can get it to work. Oh, that's the other thing. Like, testing it is, like, way easier than before, too, because it's, like, all in the same program environment. You just push the little play button in the top, and then one of your windows becomes the game that you're writing. And if it's all working, then it just works right there. And that's just Unity. Like, there's a ton of... There are even easier game engines than Unity. You might not be able to do as much stuff with them, but, you know, if you're just, like, making a really simple thing, I think they probably all could handle it. Garbage sorting game, that was made in something called, I think he said it was Phaser, and it's just, like, JavaScript and, like, dragging, you know, sort of you're putting your sprites and stuff on different layers, and then yeah, JavaScript, and that's how it was made. Really simple stuff.
Although this is coming from the only one of the three of us who's actually, you know, done this before.
Should we try it? We should just try it.
Okay.
You should just try it. And, like, it... Yeah, I guess it seems super easy to me, but I don't think it... Even if you've never done it before, it will be, like, impossibly hard. It just may take longer.
Longer than 3 months?
Well... Like, we're talking that first tutorial, like, no, it's not going to take more than 3 months unless you're just, like, not working at it at all until 3 months later. It's like, all right, it's been 3 months since I decided to do this, so it took 3 months. Yeah, it should be fairly simple. And, yeah, there's tons of places to go learn stuff. I think Unity... For me, it was the easiest to find a place to learn step by step from the beginning, because, like, the company itself wants people to learn Unity, so they have everything on their website. I think when I tried to learn Unreal Engine before, it was really hard, because a lot of the places that I would turn up would be, like, too advanced, or they assumed too much knowledge, and I sit there like... I don't know what you're talking about. And I think, like, Source was like that. And recently I tried to use Game Maker, which was, it was on Steam. It was really cheap once. And that one, yeah, actually that one has a really simplified mode that you could use too. So I guess that was easy, but when you wanted to do things that weren't supported by the simplified mode, then it was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. Yeah. I don't know where we can go with this topic.
Well, since Tekken didn't actually have any ideas he wanted to throw out there, then he ruined it all. Hey, ruined all of it.
RPG, have you ever considered trying to make a game, a simple game?
No.
Do you have any ideas?
I have no, like, programming background or skill at all, so I couldn't do that. But, I mean, I would have to be like involved in like other fashions like writing or something, because it's like it wouldn't be I couldn't even begin.
But beyond programming, there's things like, you know, just sort of designing the systems and like how they work together. I was watching Square Enix's like their series on Star Ocean, and I guess their next game is sort of rock, paper, scissor is like the fundamental combat mechanic. At its most base, it's a rock, paper, scissors type system. So it's like thinking up stuff like that, which has nothing to do with programming.
Yeah, I would have to be involved in some other form other than programming. Like I'd have to not be actually making the game. I am not computer savvy enough for that kind of stuff, and yeah.
Well, a lot of people, when they start out thinking about making games and being trained, like I guess they're taught to make sort of physical games. Because, like, that part of it is the same, whether you're going to be a computer game or not. Some of those are harder to test or actually make with paper or whatever. But yeah, I guess a lot of people do that as sort of a gateway into it. Sort of thinking about game designing itself without all of the technical stuff. Like somebody had to make up poker or chess.
That's different, though.
Or Monopoly.
I love Monopoly. But that's neither here nor there. Like I said, I could be like I would be able to be involved in like planning stages or like writing or doing like storyboard and stuff, but it's like I couldn't be able to like actually physically program anything because I am terrible with computers and anything I touch dies. So it would not be fun times for whoever had to like work with me on that, because it's like, oh no, the computer somehow exploded because I touched it. Yeah, that sounds about right. That sounds about right.
Well, then.
No electronics are safe around me.
Huh. Okay, then. So, no. Have you thought of anything, Tekken?
No.
No.
Just think sorting garbage, but on a grander scale.
Well, I guess in that case, this was just a long-winded way for me to say that it might be easier than you think. The access is certain, like, tools are way more accessible now. In fact, like, with Unity, you can even make it simpler. It's for sale, but it's like a detachment, or extension, I guess. It's an extension that you can buy called Playmaker, which really does take away almost all of the coding, and you're just like dragging and dropping and like connecting things. And that's how you make games with Playmaker. But it costs money. But since Unity is free, you know, like, oh, it's more affordable, I guess.
Oh, wait, this new covenant must be like the Forest Covenant. That makes sense.
Dark Souls continues. Actually, I was playing Battleborn when this started via remote play, which was kind of cool. I had Skype here and Battleborn there. Yeah. So anyone out there listening, Tekken, you should try it too. The first tutorial is very, very relatively easy, I think.
I said, this is coming from the guy who has experience doing this.
Relatively easy. Compared to before, I think it's a lot easier now.
I don't believe him.
Then you should try it. You should try it and prove me wrong. Blow up a computer. And send pictures. You need a new one, right?
That's a terrible
Go download Unity and try it. And if your computer explodes, then you can get a new one. And also, I get to see a blown up computer. And I'll be like, wow, that's pretty amazing.
Wow.
It's win-win.
Is it though?
Somebody wins.
Because usually exploding computers are not a winning situation.
That's a win for me.
Yeah.
I'll be like, I saw an exploded computer. What did he do? He downloaded Unity. I know, it's crazy, right?
We shall see.
And Tekken should do it because it's something he's thought about and it shouldn't take that long. And then you'll be like, wow, that was hopefully easier than I thought it was. Or you thought it was. Alright, let's talk some news. Today's news is brought to you by Eurogamer, because that's the only news site that I looked at. Congratulations, you're being spotlighted. Although way more people read your site. But anyway, some stuff that I saw that I thought was kind of cool. Apparently, there's going to be a officially licensed sequel to Fear Effect 2 coming out called Fear Effect Sedna. Apparently, it's from a French studio called Sushi. And it's part of...
That's not French. That's not French at all.
Sushi spelled S-U-S-H-E-E.
That doesn't make it any less not French. French. Any less not French.
But it's cool because it's part of Square Enix Collective, which was, like, at some point Square Enix sent out a thing that said, hey, indie developers, if you want to, you know, pitch us some new idea for some of our old IP, then we will consider it. And they pitched sort of a isometric view sequel to Fear Effect. And I guess Square Enix is on board, so they are granting Sushi the license to make an actual Fear Effect game, which is pretty awesome. Although we don't know if it's actually going to happen yet, because they just launched their Kickstarter. So, first of all, they gotta get through Kickstarter, and then, with the history of Kickstarter games, they actually have to... Yeah, they actually have to make it.
There's the Unsung Story update this week or something.
Oh yeah?
Man. Let me go check my email. I just remembered that he said that.
Well, finishing this up, the original Fear Effects director, writer, and producer, John Zerplatten, he's on board to help at Sushi, so that's pretty cool. And their planned release date is for PC, May 2017, though I guess one of the stretch goals is a PlayStation version as well. Goes until May 13th. I'm excited. Actually, I bought the first two, but I don't remember them very well. I think Fear Effect was actually one of the first cel-shaded games to exist, because they were on PS1.
I never played it, so... I've heard of it, though, so...
It's pretty neat. Earlier in the show, I was talking about how this was sort of a terrible month for VR, even though VR officially launched this month. For many people, I guess it doesn't feel like that because just tons of things went wrong. Oculus Rift customers who, even those who pre-ordered on day one, and the Kickstarter backers who were supposed to get a consumer version Rift for free, everyone is experiencing delays because, according to Oculus, there was some sort of component shortage. And so people are looking at maybe June before they get Oculus Rift. Ouch. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
That is
so bad. Even though these things have launched, technically, it feels like they haven't. HTC Vive, meanwhile, they had that thing where, like, their credit card processing company, like, if someone's credit card didn't go through, then they just canceled their orders. And so people pre-ordered day one or, like, minutes after it started, aren't getting their Vives. And, yeah, so lots of sucky stuff happening there. Although, a person from HTC Vive, like, higher up, took to Twitter and said, like, oh, but we're on track to get all April pre-orders out in April. So it's sounding very optimistic, and I guess we will see if they can actually hit that target. Suda51's PS4 exclusive brawler Let It Die is coming out this year, and apparently will be at PAX. That's that weird game with the, like, half-naked people running around in a really dark-looking sewer place, and, like, it was really bloody and stuff, because obviously it's being made by...
The only thing I remember about that game is, like, the weird live-action trailer at, like, 1E3. Like, there's no gameplay, and it's like, what is this game?
apparently it's a crazy third-person, like, action survival game. And something about, like, when your characters die, they, whatever equipment they had on, like, that, a enemy with that equipment will spawn in other people's games.
Rude.
It's weird.
It's like, hey, I stole your stuff, so I'm just gonna go troll these other guys now.
It's from Suda51 and Grasshopper Manufacturer, so it's gonna be weird. We probably won't know much about it until it actually is out. But it's asynchronous multiplayer and free to play.
Hmm. Wait, and where is this coming? What platforms is this?
PS4. Oh. This is for PS4.
Free to play, you say?
Free to play, very strange. Yeah, lots of stuff.
I would totally get this game now.
So did this happen in the last week? Evolution Studios got shut down, right?
That was a while ago.
Was that 2 weeks ago? Was that a while ago?
I don't think it was this week. It was not this week for sure. Okay.
We learned this week that Codemasters is picking up that team.
Entirely. Nice. Oh, that's
now
even better.
Codemasters is like
they
a
make
giant
awesome racing games.
Yeah. So they're a giant racing powerhouse. I guess they just decided to pick up the entire team, and I don't know if they get to keep Evolution Studios the name, but they get to stay together and work on new stuff.
Just fold them in.
Yeah, that happened a while ago, because I think it actually happened, like, the week after PSVR, we got all that info, because I was like, oh, I was hoping for a Drive Club place. Oh, wait, no, not. They're the other racing game. Never mind. There was, like, two racing studio closures. That was, like, one was the Drive Club team, and then the other one was these people. So, never mind. Evolution. Yeah, there's two different. Never mind. I'm getting confused.
Evolution is the Drive Club team.
Oh, okay. Well, never mind. I'm wrong again. But, yeah. It happened so soon. Whatever. I just know it didn't happen this week. So yeah, whatever.
Tekken, you're confusing me.
I'm confusing me too.
You're confusing me.
I'm confusing.
I don't know what's happening anymore.
I don't know if we talked about it though. That's the thing.
I think did they make that one game that what was it?
Motor Storm.
Yes. Yes. We talked about it. We talked about it because
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, because that was brought up. I'm pretty sure we didn't.
So that's cool. That's cool for them. Let's see. We got to see a teaser of Titanfall 2 this week.
Not impressed.
And now we know that it will be out on PS4 and Xbox One. In addition to Xbox One. And I guess they'll show a full trailer at E3. Or their equivalent of E3.
Y'all knew it was going to go multi-platform because they were like, money, my dear boy, money.
It's hard to say if the teaser is in-game or whatever, but it looks better than the first one. I think they may have switched away from Source and gone to Frostbite for the sequel.
Frostbite is an amazing engine.
It is very pretty.
Very pretty.
And so versatile.
Mostly pretty.
I know, Need for Speed is just like, man, this looks so good. Can't wait to play Mass Effect. That's all I could think when I was playing that. I was like, looks so good. When is Mass Effect coming?
Is Mirror's Edge May also?
Yes, it is. Yeah,
because
it's the same week as Doom, I think.
Oh, right. Oh, man. May is terrible. It's like December.
It's because everything got delayed.
Yeah. It's November and May.
Everything settled in May after getting delayed from the spring. I'm like, well, we were going to be Q1, but we didn't know when, so now we're in May.
This game's going to come out in February. Wow. Now it's May.
So with PlayStation Experience in December, we basically have like 6 month years now where we have this giant announcement party every 6 months.
Yep.
And the month before it is a giant release month, which starts in February. Releases from February till May, and then from September to November. Oh, exhausting.
You're welcome.
And finally, the PS4 firmware 3.5 went up, and it had some cool stuff that we've talked about, but there was also stuff that wasn't revealed in the patch notes that is pretty cool. apparently you can pin three things to your home XMB now so that they'll always be at the front.
I did not know this.
You can do things like set a limit to the number of party members now. So, for example, when we raid, we could set it to party of six and not have, like, random people join in.
Like, hey, I'm a friend of this guy. It's like, we don't care. Why are you?
The weirdest is when they join in and then they don't say anything.
They're like, I'm watching you, but you don't know it.
Like, okay, I've had that happen a few times. You can also search games in the live from a PlayStation thing. And there was a few more, like, oh, USB music player came back. I didn't even know it was gone.
What is the music player you speak of?
Like, you can plug in a USB stick that has music on it, and you can play it with the... I guess the media player.
Yeah.
Let's see. It says you can also disable the screenshot on-screen notification when you take screenshots. And now I guess you can... The system supports up to 4 terabyte hard disks.
Oh, yes. All digital, all the time.
Man, yes. Just my 500 gig on my second PS4 is almost full.
This is
again.
Ridiculous, tropical. It's starting to get ridiculous.
All the time.
I keep falling into holes. food. This is amazing.
And yeah, that's the news.
All right. Well, here's the email from Playdeck. It says, Kickstarter update number 51. Hey, everybody. We want to update everyone on our current development track and unsung story. We are nearing release this month of the product mentioned in our last update and are close to wrapping up that product and focusing our development team on Unsung Story. We expect to have part of the team back on level design work, along with more gameplay design work and art, towards the end of this month. From there, we have some engine work to do on the animation system, and we'll extend the current prototypes with more character class work so that we can continue game balancing the various classes. In May, we should have another update that will have more game-specific progress we can go into, and we'll start sharing more game-specific features and design. At this time, we still expect to be on track for a beta playable release to backers in the fall, containing a few levels and two character schools, with each school having multiple class variations within it. As we ramp up development progress on the game, there are a few outstanding points about our game focus and the development that we most recently worked on that we feel need additional addressing. We have explained these points before, but for some reason, there still seems to be some backer confusion in what we have stated and how it is interpreted. So to address that, 1. Unsung Story is a single-player tactics RPG and has been since its inception. The game is centered on a single-player campaign mode with multiple episodes and scenarios. Hopefully that is very clear. Will the game have a mode that allows for players to play against each other in online matches if they choose to do so? Yes.
Hell no.
Will we release a beta module that allows for players to play against each other online in order to gather valuable gameplay data for balancing the game? Yes. And this does not change what the core of the game is and always has been, a single-player tactics RPG. 2. Some have inquired as to the development costs for the current project we are releasing. The funds for that game were provided separately from any other source of development funds, apart from any earned Playdeck revenues. 3. As previously stated, we anticipate having a first playable of a few game levels in backers' hands in the fall of this year. It will have player versus player capability, followed by AI for single player. If possible, we will release both in the initial release, and we'll determine that as we get closer. And so, we want everyone to know that we are close to being on track with our latest development plan and should have some game-specific development updates to start sharing in May. Over the summer, we'll have new screenshots, videos, and art to share, along with gameplay, specific details about our progress on the characters and battle systems, and the game world. Thanks for your support, and be back with another update in a month. Playdeck.
Please be excited.
What do you think? Actual backer?
Yeah, we'll see, Tropical. We'll see. I want to believe, but you know, this train's gotten pretty south pretty fast, so yeah.
It did. What is their other project? Does anyone know?
No.
It's always a secret. Game
or something. I don't know.
Probably some mobile game.
Something they don't want to be attached to in name, so that's why they haven't said what it is.
I could probably look it up, but it's like, I don't know. I don't know if they... I don't remember. I don't think they mention it by name in their thingy. I think they just say, like, we have some other thing we're doing. And it's like, yeah, okay, whatever.
Well, go to their website, and according to... Well, they have a lot of iOS games. It appears the Ascension series is popular on iOS because they have made 4 of those.
That could just be, that's all they know what to, that's all they know how to do.
Playdeck attends Tokyo Game Show. There are no dates on this. So this might be from back in the day. Playdeck partners with Wizards of the Coast. March 2013. All right, so this is not up to date. But Unsung Story is on here. What happens if I click it? Does it go to nothing? Nope, it goes to their...
Does it go to nothing?
It goes to the Kickstarter page. So, yeah. Who knows? Yeah, the reputation of Kickstarter has gone down. People had some high expectations and stuff. It's like, wow, this is the future. It's all going to be crowdfunded and stuff. And nope. So yeah, I guess that's the show then. Please check out aimlesspodcast.com. It is where you can download podcasts and listen to them anywhere. It is so cool. But other than that, we also have YouTube, which hopefully you're at now, and Twitter and Facebook and all that stuff. Follow, subscribe, push them buttons.
Push it good.
Do you have anything to say before we sign off RPG?
No.
Okay, well yeah, there's no inner the gungeon sign off this week. I didn't get around to making any audio buttons. It's a lot more complicated than I thought it would be. So it's
also
like,
because happening. He sounds like a crazy person when...
Yeah! Oh, yeah, that's right. You can hear it. That was funny.
Like, cool, Tekken, you keep on being insane.
Oh, man. So, yeah. Until next week, next episode, or whenever you see or hear from us again, Aimless Babble Z, and we're now signing off.